Coming up this week on the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, it's our final show of 2018. Universal and Knott's announce their plans for New Year's Eve, Disneyland begins a crackdown on annual pass holders, and Disneyland announces its 2019 After Dark events. Plus, a little bit later on, Erin is here to share with us her experiences at both Grinchmas and Holiday in the Park at Six Flags. And then we're going to wrap up our year by talking about our favorite things in the parks and what we're looking forward to in 2019. So pop the champagne and call the Uber. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast. This is the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, episode number 28 for the week of December 19th, 2018. Visit our travel partner, Magical Vacation Planner by Karis, for your help for help planning your next vacation getaway to any of the following: Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney and Aulani, Universal Studios Orlando, and Royal Caribbean, Princess, Carnival Cruises, and more. Get your free consultation by visiting Magical Vacation Planner by Karis on Facebook or by visiting magicalvacationplanner.com/staff/Karis, CARISS-Milano, MILANO. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Vacationland Theme Park Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion of the latest news, reviews, and history from all of the Southern California theme parks and beyond. Brought to you by our team of theme park fans and experts. I am Chris Ramirez, the host and executive producer of Vacationland, and this week I am joined by our associate producer and Knott's Berry Farm reporter, Brandis Stratman. Hello, Brandis.
Hello.
Contributor and alternate John Stratman. Welcome back, John.
Glad to be back.
And joining us once again, Universal Studios reporter and our photographer, Erin Owens. Hello, Erin.
Good morning.
I kind of spoiled the surprise on that one because I mentioned you in the intro. So, all right, welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad to be back doing the show, and it's our final show of the year. So this will be going up shortly before Christmas. This will be going up on Wednesday the 19th. So I hope everyone is enjoying the holiday season, enjoying all of the parks. I spent the previous week in Orlando. I was at Walt Disney World. And if you want to see any photographs or some of the things that we got to do out in Orlando, visit our Instagram page or our Facebook page. Our Instagram page is at VL Podcast, and we got some really cool video and some really neat photographs. So that was cool. It was all decked out for Christmas. I really enjoyed. This is my first time going out to Disney World for
Christmas overlay
for the Christmas season. Yeah, usually when we go out there, it's like we do that transition between like the fall and Christmas.
Okay.
So usually like literally like in the past, we've gone to bed and it's fall and we'll wake up in the morning or come back from the parks and they're
That's wild.
They're literally like installing Christmas on a crane. So wow. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've gone where it's like all Christmas all the time. So that was a lot of fun.
Is it different from California?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. Because in California, I feel like, because Disney World is so huge, especially Magic Kingdom, which is like the Disneyland, like park, it's not as intense at Magic Kingdom as it is in Disneyland. Like Disneyland is like, you have Small World Holiday, you have Haunted Mansion Holiday, you have all of the, like every corner of the park is done up in Christmas.
Yeah.
In Florida, all of the parks are done up in Christmas and they all have like their Christmas trees out front. So there's a lot of Christmas, but I think inside the parks, it's a lot more subtle, you know, more a little bit more subdued than it is in Disneyland, which is like Disneyland is like just cram
bam
as
in
much,
your face.
Yeah, cram as much Christmas into every corner as you possibly can, which is not a bad thing. I mean, I really enjoy
like it. They have the same amount of Christmas stuff, just one in a smaller spot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of describing. So you have, you know, 4 square miles of Christmas crammed into you know, Disneyland.
Got
so
it.
That's a little bit different. But it was cold. It was freezing the entire time we were out there.
Yeah, they've been getting a cold front.
Yeah.
That just enhances the Christmas experience.
It did, because a couple of the podcasts I listen to, they talk all the time about how it never feels, you know, you go to the parks to get that Christmas feeling because it, you know, usually in Orlando, it's usually like, you know, 90 degrees with 85% humidity and, you know, Christmas decorations are up, but it felt like Christmas. And yeah, Erin's right. They've been having a cold front and they're going to have another one next week. They closed the water parks and we had one nice day and it almost got to 80. So that, to give you an indication, but, so that was fun.
It's like a humid California.
It is. Yeah. It is like a humid California. And that is what my friend told us, because we're like, why? It was like in the '50s, and it gets in the '50s here in Southern California, and, you know, walk outside with a sweatshirt or whatever. We went outside on our last night to watch the fireworks because we had a dessert party reserved, and it was in the low 50s, and it felt like it was in the low 40s. And my friend says it's because of the humidity. in Orlando that it just, it's kind of like how the humidity makes it feel hotter. It works the other way too. It makes you feel colder. So,
and people in North Dakota are laughing at you.
Oh yeah. No, there were definitely people in the pool when we came back, like just bundled up and like, we thankfully we thought ahead. So we took like jackets and, you know, my wife took her gloves and we came back and we're just like bundled up and there were people in the pool. And I'm like, you are from a cold weather climate. That's, you are from somewhere where it snows.
Yeah. It's like when you go down to, the beach here in Southern California in the winter and you bundle up because it's going to be cold at the beach and you will see tourists in the water in just like their swimsuits. And yeah, you know, they are definitely from Northern America.
Yeah. Those are crazy people. That's what those are. But, so while we were gone, we put up an episode. Me and Dr. David did an episode on the history of the Haunted Mansion holiday and the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland's New Orleans Square. So we certainly hope you have enjoyed that. How are you guys enjoying the Christmas season?
A lot more this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a rough year last year. So
yeah. You guys went to Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes.
How was that?
I mean, it was pretty much almost exactly the same as every year with two changes. I noticed less shopping. Their Crafters Village seemed to have less people. And they had more snow, that fake snow they do.
Okay.
This time I noticed it was like piling up on the buildings and the wagon wheels. And it looked really nice.
Yeah, I follow them on. It seems like they've really kind of are really going a little bit to that extra mile to with the decorations, the holiday decorations at least.
Yeah, and it looked really nice, but then it also piles up on the ground and gets slippery. And I was walking through with my boys after, because they do the snow. I think it lasts like 10 minutes on the top of every hour.
Oh, is it the Snope?
Yeah.
You know.
Soap?
Yeah. It's the stuff that I didn't know. Like, I thought it was like, you know, like that craft stuff you buy at Michael's.
And yeah.
But it's like,
I mean, that would be better, but they'd probably get sued for like scratched corneas and
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
Or people inhaling it.
Yeah.
So I'm walking through with my boys and there is all these people like slipping and sliding and complaining. And it's like, well, I mean, you wanted the snow. You don't have to stand in the middle of it.
I was not aware that they did that there.
Huh?
I was not aware that they did that.
The snow?
The snow, yeah.
They started it a few years ago. And yeah, it's just in Ghost Town. And what happens is at the top of every hour, there's like, I don't want to say lights show, but there's definitely like lights involved and they start playing Christmas music. And when they get to Let It Snow, it starts snowing.
I prefer Let It Snope. that's fun. But yeah, so.
Featuring Snoopy.
Well done. So how are the vendors? I haven't been to Knott's Berry Farm in a couple of years. How are the vendors and the food and all that stuff?
I know every year at the restaurants, they offer different foods, but we never try that out. We have the meal plan on our passes for next year, so we will try it out next year. But this year I just go to the barn, and there they have the chocolate covered, cheesecake with the, you know, chocolate fountain. They have, some specialty beers and they have peppermint, cotton candy. So it's all the same offerings.
Do they still have that maple stuff that they pour over the ice?
No, and that's so sad. We loved that, and they don't do it anymore. And it was like just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, just that stick to your teeth.
It was just that one year that they did it, and I don't know why they never brought it back.
Yeah,
maybe it was a liability, because like it was hot. Like they were heating the maple syrup over a flame.
Yeah.
I mean, they heat up the chicken wings during the Bear Boysenberry Festival over a flame.
Yeah, but this was done on the corner of one of the buildings in Ghost Town. So it was open. People could trip into it, and it gets pretty crowded, especially when it snows. Yeah.
Maybe a lot of people didn't like it. Maybe it's just us that like it.
Maybe it just wasn't popular, and we're the only four people that like it. that's entirely possible.
I will say I went and did the cookie thing where you make cookies with your kids.
I saw that, yeah.
And this year what was different about it is they used to give you like a cookie – and then, like, there'd be all the stuff on the table, like sprinkles, like M&Ms.
Like in little containers.
Oh, yeah, containers and, like, you know, like frosting, like dispensers and all that stuff. But this year they gave you a box and it had the cookie in it, a little thing of sprinkles, a little thing of M&Ms, and like a little pack of the frosting, like a mustard or ketchup packet. You know what I mean? Like you rip the top and squeeze it out that way. It was like impossible to make a good looking cookie. Like it was really weird.
Maybe they had too much fecal matter in the products before.
Yeah, because it was like, it's like bar nuts, right? It's like, you know, maybe it was just like open containers. Yeah.
No. It wasn't really like open containers. It was like they were in like containers, like you shake it and they fall out or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was like I'm picturing like a petri dish full of
white. It has been dishes in the past.
Like, oh, okay. All right.
When when they first did it, it was located over that bakery by Ghost Rider, and on the tables were just these tubs of frosting and plastic knives. And tubs of sprinkles. And of course, kids lick the knife and then stick it back in. And
that is my worst nightmare. You are describing my worst nightmare.
We actually went to a event not related to theme parks yesterday that had cookie decorating. And that's what my son was literally licking the knife in between colors of frosting to clean the frosting colors off. And my mother-in-law and I are watching him. And he always offers us one of those cookies because they decorate two cookies.
Yeah, nope.
And it's like, those are all his cookies.
Maybe he's doing it on purpose.
Smart kid. Yeah.
When I was in Orlando, they do these dessert parties. And so like, if you want to watch the fireworks in a less crowded spot, they do a dessert party. It's a little pricey, but what it is you get like basically a buffet of desserts, like really good desserts. And like, they were making like homemade, like some, like they were like roasting marshmallows and rolling them in chocolate and nuts and graham crackers and stuff. And then it's like, you know, drinks and stuff. But, then you get to go watch the fireworks in this little kind of enclosed area that's probably, it's got room for like 500 people, but it's usually about 300. So you have like room to move and you're not like crowded. Like that is one of the best. If you're going to buy an extra at a Disney park in Orlando, like that is the one to do. And you want to watch the fireworks and you don't want to be standing shoulder to shoulder with your neighbor in like fighting for space. And that is one of the best things that you can do out there. How much was the cookie thing?
It's $5.
Okay. And they don't take card.
Only cash?
Yeah, that was weird.
No, they don't take cash.
Oh, they don't only take cash, card. Only card.
Oh,
that's right.
That's weird.
So before they only took cash, so I brought cash, and I'm standing in line for my spiced wine, and John comes in with the boy saying they don't take cash. So I had to give him my card and take the cash to pay for my wine.
Cash is tough in those situations. People steal.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about that the Disney worker that embezzled like $150,000 or something like that?
When was that?
In the last week. It was Orlando.
Holy crap.
Also, speaking of like weird things, did you guys hear about Santa?
He's what coming to town.
About Santa? He's watching us?
So apparently yesterday at the Merry Christmas Parade at Disneyland.
Oh, I saw it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a mishap on the Santa float, like the beginning of the big finale. Santa comes out and waves. Apparently there was a mishap on the float and like launched Santa and all of the presents on like to the parade route.
Oh.
And fortunately Santa was like
padded,
buckled in. Oh. There's on our Facebook page, if you go to the facebook.com/thevacationlandpodcast, there's a video of it, and you can just like, there's just a malfunction in the sleigh, because the sleigh goes up and down and side to side, and you know, Santa waves and ho-ho and all that. But at some point, like the float stops and the whole thing just pitches forward and like presents and stuff in the sleigh, just like launches.
There's going to be a lot of fake lawsuits over that.
Well, the problem is that Santa is an AGWA performer.
He's a what?
He's an AGWA, which means it's the American Guild of Variety Artists.
Wait, hold on. They don't have the real Santa?
Well, I mean, he's one of Santa's helpers. Santa's helper is, I mean...
But
it's
wait.
Part of the union, John.
It's a union thing. It's,
okay.
Right. All right. Santa's in the union, and we're going to see what. Yeah. So, anyways, if you want to see the video, go to our Facebook page and check that out. So, they still have this. Going back to Knott's, they still have that lady that sells the leather crafts.
The one that makes those like, yeah, it's like purses that are like decoupaged, and she always has the same exact one. So, I really don't think she's selling anything. Yeah.
All right. It's curious. All right. Okay. Well, thank you guys for telling us. I think me and Aaron at some point are going to go to Knott's Merry Farm because I haven't been in a while and we just want to go. So that's going to be fun. All right. Let's go and get into park hopping.
Welcome to the Magic Kingdom of Disneyland. There are several ways to visit this happy place. If this is your first visit, you may enjoy the guided tour.
welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A.
Welcome, one and all. Y'all come have a ball. Things are very fine, riding on the old Knightsbury line.
All right, Park Hopping is our news segment, and we're going to start things off with Aaron. And Aaron's going to tell us about Universal and Knott's Berry Farm announcing their New Year's Eve plans. Aaron, what are you doing New Year's Eve?
With fireworks display one
Sorry,
night.
Sorry, you can start again.
Oh, yeah. Knott's Berry Farm to ring in 2019 with fireworks display one night only entertainment. The countdown to 2019 is on, and Knott's Berry Farm is prepping to celebrate with special fireworks, live entertainment, and extended park hours. Other highlights of the evening include Martini Pop Swing Band. This band will get the party started playing the slickest standards ever. Professional swing dancers and instructors will be on hand to make sure guests don't miss a step. The Suffragettes join these gals at the Calico Mine stage as they perform pop and rock music. DJ Howley. This DJ is bringing the party to the farm with high energy music and dancing at the Calico Mine stage. Join the Peanuts gang by the Calico Mine stage for photos to commemorate your New Year's Eve experience. Piano Mania Dueling Pianos. Head to Boardwalk Barbecue as these two sets of keys go head-to-head in one performance. Chipper Lowe, enjoy the comedy and magic of this family-friendly comedian in the Birdcage Theater. Crazy Kirk and the Hillbillies, these four country boys from the hills of Anaheim will get your toes tapping and hands clapping with their comical musical performance at the Wagon Camp. DJ JC, head over to Fiesta Plaza for upbeat music and Latin dance tips from an instructor. And the Midnight Fireworks Spectacular, ringing the new year with a bang as the park's skies light up with a spectacular fireworks display. As a special New Year's Eve treat, Spurs Restaurant is serving up a special buffet from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. The cost is $34.99 for adults, $29.99 for seniors, 62 and over, and $18.99 for kids 11 and under. In addition to the special New Year's Eve festivities, guests can experience all the magic and fun of Knott's Merry Farm. Knott's New Year's Eve celebration is included with the regular park admission. Operating hours from New Year's Eve will be 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. To learn more about Knott's Berry Farm and to purchase tickets, visit knotts.com.
All right, so I've been to Knott's for New Year's Eve.
Like, that is quite a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't remember like any of that stuff.
I'm not sure you could get through all that.
Yeah, so we went and so having worked at Disneyland, I know that like, it gets crazy at Disneyland. Like, it's shoulder to shoulder by, you know, like 6 o'clock. So, one year we decided to go to Knott's and we had really good times. Have you guys ever been to any of the theme parks for New Year's Eve?
No.
No, I'm pretty much when the boys get older, I do want to go to the Knott's one.
Yeah.
But right now our youngest is very dead set on bedtime. Like, at 8 o'clock, he starts getting grumpy. And
okay.
So I try not to stay out for anything too late. Mm-hmm. I dread, 4th of July every year for that reason, because the sun doesn't set until 8, and that's his bedtime.
Oh, yeah, at sunset.
But one of these years when he's older, or maybe one of these years when my in-laws have no plans on New Year's, we'll go to the Knott's.
Was it packed when you went?
It was busy, but it wasn't, like, obscene. Like, so there were lines, and it was, you know, you could tell that there was a crowd there. But it was just, it was festive, and it was fun, or, you know, opposed to, like, Disneyland sometimes feels like it's just very stressful sometimes because there's so many people there. The Knott's one was just, it was fun. And there was like, you know, the countdown at midnight and, you know, all kinds of the fun stuff without it being so crowded and, you know, cringe.
That's
amazing.
Cool.
So, all right. And then, so, on the other side of town is, Universal Studios. What's going on at Universal Studios for New Year's Eve?
Universal Studios Hollywood rings in 2019 with Eve, Hollywood's biggest and most exciting New Year's celebration, including an all-new Ultimate Eve package on Monday, December 31st, with extended theme park hours to 2 a.m. Eve is included in the price of theme park admission and invites guests to spend the day and night enjoying its many popular rides and attractions with a special park-wide party starting at 9 p.m. featuring multiple DJs and live music entertainment hubs that will culminate simultaneously at midnight with a traditional New Year countdown and a spectacular fireworks display. Starting at 9 p.m., Universal Plaza, Simpsons Plaza, located in Springfield, and an area near Revenge of the Mummy, the ride, will transform into three uniquely themed party hubs, featuring a variety of music from rock and roll to electronic dance music to Latin pop, and the celebration will continue with enhanced DJ shows and after-party entertainment until 2 a.m., a selection of food and beverages, including specialty desserts, champagne, beer, wine, and specialty cocktails, as well as 2019 memorabilia, will be available for purchase. The party areas for 2019 will be Latin Beats, Latin Favorites near Revenge of the Mummy, Electric New Year, Electric Dance Music at Simpsons Plaza, Rock the Night, pop Rock, Hip Hop Tunes at Universal Plaza.
So I think...
I wonder if it's going to stay open until 2 a.m.
Yeah, me too. And I'm sure the neighbors are going to love that. If you don't know, like, Universal Studios is situated essentially in what is a high-end residential neighborhood. So you get a lot of trouble with the neighbors sometimes.
I could have just said lower lot. Exactly. With Latin Beats. There's not a whole lot of areas down there.
I don't understand people who buy a home in a place like that and then complain.
Right.
Because... honestly, I would love to buy one of those homes that overlook the studio tours where the airplane wreckage is.
Yeah.
I think that is so neat when I see them. I would be having my coffee out there every morning waving to people.
And it's an active studio. Like, you have to know that, right? When you buy your house, like, oh, I'm buying my house behind Universal Studios Hollywood.
It's been around for a really long time. It's nothing new.
There's these people. They recently tore down some affordable housing in my city. And built these high-end homes, like we're talking like million-dollar homes, right along the edge of a nature preserve. And they keep demanding that the city do all these things to the nature preserve that is causing them trouble. And it's like, you know, those people that got evicted so that you could buy your million-dollar home weren't complaining about this for like the 50 years that those homes were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand people like that to buy a house to complain.
I work at a high school it's an old high school. And anytime anybody complains about the noise, our principal just sends them a black and white picture of the school in the 30th the school in the 30s. And it's nothing surrounded by like nothing but fields and sage grass. So.
Yeah. See, our bedroom window actually overlooks a college.
Oh, okay.
And so we hear when they have games there, we get a lot of noise.
Yeah.
The only time I ever complain is when they forget to turn out the lights.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Because the ordinance with the city is the lights are supposed to be out by 10, but sometimes they forget if things go long or something and it shines in my...
Yeah.
One year they left it on over winter break.
Oh, my. So going back to the Universal and Knott's New Year's Eve thing, if you guys were just based on what the information that we have here from Universal and Knott's, which one of the two would you, it sounds more appealing?
Knott's.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the Universal one, it sounds like they're trying to be a club. You know, DJs. And I mean, did you ever go to one of those parties that was meant for teenagers put on by like a church or a country club in the neighborhood? And it was just so lame and it's like they're trying to be cool. That's what Universal sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like there's more stuff to do at the Knott's one as well.
Yeah.
So
Knott's is bigger and there's only so much space they can put down anything.
Yeah.
But Universal probably has more alcohol.
Yeah.
There's probably
I'm not sure that I could spend that many hours unless it's like really busy and everything's a 2-hour wait. And that, you know, which in that case, like, why bother? But like, I don't know that I could spend that many hours at Universal Studios. Like, once you get through everything, it's kind of like, okay, I'm through everything.
Then you go back to Harry Potter World.
Oh, there you go. Right? John goes with you.
No, I will say that the fireworks show at Universal is probably going to be spectacular because you have the Hollywood Bowl fireworks as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you probably get a better show there than in Buena Park.
Oh, yeah. when you're at fogged in Buena Park, and my friends live about a mile or so from Knott's Berry Farm. So our plan was to go out in the front lawn and watch the fireworks from Knott's Berry Farm. And all we saw was like
colorful smoke.
Green and red fog. So, that was fun. So yeah, the Knott's one sounds like fun. The Universal one, I know they're trying to do something and I applaud them for trying to, you know, get into that New Year's Eve spirit and draw people in. But it seems like it's a bunch of DJs and I don't know. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron. And we're going to go over to John. And John, Disneyland's announced some After Dark events for 2019. What are they?
So Disneyland After Dark is what they are showcasing here. A special after-hours park experience featuring unique entertainment, specialty food, collectibles, merchandise, and more. Return in 2019 with two fun-filled events. Both events will take place in Disneyland Park after closing, with mix-in access beginning at 6 p.m. Select attractions through the park will also remain open exclusively for the event, for guests. So there's a what's called a Sweethearts Night. The happiest place on earth transforms into your most romantic, to the most romantic on February 7th, and love will certainly be in the air.
It's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte.
I don't imagine how love is in the air. Yeah. All right.
It's a lot like the flu. it's an airborne thing.
So dress to impress your sweetheart. So they'll have love song themed dance parties.
Okay, throughout. I was like long stemmed.
Yeah, no, yeah, sorry. I suck at reading. All
like,
right.
Was it like they were going to be throwing long stem roses at you?
Yeah.
Jump for the thorns.
Right in the eye. That's the lawsuit waiting to happen.
Love song themed dance parties throughout the park, as well as a royal ball experience. Encounters with beloved Disney couples, including Eugene and Rapunzel.
Aladdin. That's a horrible name, Eugene.
Have you not seen Tangled?
Wait, his name was Finn.
His real name is Eugene.
Oh, that's right. That's why he goes by Finn, which makes sense.
Right, but why would you put that in a press release? Yeah. Who knows that?
Eugene.
So it'll be Eugene and Rapunzel, Aladdin and Jasmine, and of course Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse. Immersive photo opportunities featuring romantic scenes from iconic Disney films. Sweetheart-themed decor, as well as romantic food, beverage, and merchandise offering. And they also have unlimited Disney PhotoPass digital downloads of your photos captured during the event. They're also going to have a 90s night on March 7th.
Let's talk about the first one first.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk about the Sweetheart's night. Like,
it's going to be so busy.
Yeah, it's going to be first. Yeah,
it's going to be really
packed. Because I'm sitting here and I'm like, it sounds awful, but like, that's just me. I think Aaron's right. I think it's going to be super packed. Like there's to me that like, there's I don't know everybody has a line in the sand. Like everybody goes like there's a line where you just go too far, and I don't think Disney had reached that line until I read the release for this like Sweetheart's Night thing. Like, okay. Wait,
okay, but the little girl in me was like, the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that's why, back to Aaron's point, it's going to be super crowded. The next one, however, is one that I have already purchased tickets for and I'm quite excited about. What's the other one, John?
90s Night. Yep. On March 7th, relive fond Disney memories and party like it's the 90s. Come dressed in your 90s best attire and step back in time.
Oh, please tell me the cast of Saved by the Bell is going to be there.
I was hoping
was that the little girl in you too?
Yeah. I was hoping for the non-famous members of the new Mickey Mouse Club. So,
oh, yeah.
So there'll be a special 90s themed fireworks show, throwback musical entertainment, and more. A reimagined Disney Afternoon Avenue with special greetings from favorite Disney characters from the 90s and interactive photo opportunities. Decade-inspired foods, beverages, and merchandise. What that could be. Yeah. I don't remember specific foods from the 90s.
Jolt Gushers.
Jolt Cola, okay.
Yeah, a lot of Squeezits.
Yeah, Squeezits, Mondos, Gushers, Dunkaroos,
Horn Nuts.
A lot of New York Seltzer. New York Seltzer.
Oh, yeah.
Corrected.
Ecto Cooler.
Lunchables, that kind of was made famous in the 90s.
Yeah. See? So nice. John was, once again, John's wrong.
A commemorative fanny pack. Oh my gosh.
Oh, please.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, a fanny pack.
How did I miss that?
Yeah. Oh, look what you get to get soon.
My. Oh, can I have your fanny pack, please?
We'll see. Maybe we'll
and that's not me hitting on you.
Yeah. I'm like, John's right here. maybe we'll make the fanny pack as part of a giveaway.
I can't win the giveaway.
So a commemorative fanny pack and unlimited Disney PhotoPass digital downloads of your photos captured during the event. Visit Disneyland.com for more details. The event is $99 per person, and parking fees are not included in the ticket price.
Which is ridiculous.
I think it should be $19.99 or something, the prices.
Yeah.
No.
$19.95.
Yeah.
It's only open for, like, what, 5 hours?
Well, you get to mix in starting at 6.
Okay.
And
so if you don't have, like, a pass or anything like that, like, you get to come in starting at 6, and then it's open till, the other 5 hours or so.
So I just want to say the 90s themed characters. So we're talking Baloo the Whale from Tailspin. Chippendales. Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
No, Darkwing Duck wasn't Disney.
Yeah, it is.
It was?
Oh, yeah.
Darkwing Duck, Chippendales, Rescue Rangers.
Have you not seen the new DuckTales?
DuckTales. I haven't seen the new one, but I've...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know there was a new one.
A Goofy movie. A Goof Troop.
Well, the thing that Aaron may not remember this, but you guys might. The thing I am most excited about is the Disney Afternoon Avenue, which was a total thing in the 90s. And it was... So, when they launched Disney Afternoon, which was all the DuckTales and Tailspin and Gummy Bears and all that. When they first launched that in the 90s, they did Disney Afternoon Avenue. And what it was the cheapest cardboard and plywood cutouts that they could find and just scattered on that little pathway from the Matterhorn up to where Small World is. And as a kid, it was the greatest thing in the world.
What were the cutouts of?
Looking back on it as an adult, I was like, how cheap could they possibly have gotten? It was just cutouts of like the gummy bear, like gummy.
Oh, I see.
So like when the motorboats were still there, like it used to be like the motorboats through Gummy Glen.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And so, like it was super awesome. I know it's not going to happen. I'm really hoping they're going to bring back the Dick Tracy characters for a while.
Oh, wow. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. For a while, they had like the Dick Tracy walk around characters before that movie like flopped out.
So the 90s themed fireworks show, does that mean it's fireworks that are less spectacular than they are now?
Probably. Yeah.
With like while they play NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
Oh, I'm thinking they're going to be like music from like 90s Disney movies and like probably a lot of like.
It's going to be a lot of. Yeah.
Like a lot of like.
Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin.
The Circle Darkwing of Life.
Duck. Yeah. So I'm thinking a lot of like, again, Disney Afternoon, Darkwing Duck and DuckTales and all that stuff is huge right now.
And their movies in the 90s were hits.
Yeah.
Like they just had Little Mermaid, Lion King.
Yeah. So I think I am super more excited about this than any like rational adult should be. And the fact that there's a fanny pack giveaway.
What are you going to wear for the...
You have to wear a turtleneck.
Okay, so we're debating.
That has a bunch of random on it.
Yeah, so we're debating between like trying to do something like themed, like to
Zach Morton. No, Christian Slater and Jesse.
So we were thinking like. We were thinking something like something from like
I got all those names wrong. Like AC Slater.
There you go.
So we were thinking like do something like Chippendale Rescue Rangers, where like one of us wears like the Hawaiian shirt and one of us wears like the leather jacket. Hmm. I'm thinking like ripped jeans and like a flannel tied around my waist. And
yes.
Like like hair in my eyes.
Make sure your jeans are really really baggy too.
Really baggy jeans.
Like
a Nirvana T-shirt.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking. So. Yeah, that sounds nice. Fun.
So you're gonna go as Wayne and Garth?
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie. All right. It's a good movie. All right. Okay, well thank you, John. And finally, Brandis is going to tell us about something that I think has been a long time coming. Disneyland has begun cracking down on annual pass holders. Brandis, what's going on over at Disneyland?
Before I read, I do have to say that when this broke the news, I enjoyed reading it, so okay, Disneyland begins quietly revoking annual passes of guests who buy and resell souvenirs. Disneyland has been quietly revoking the annual passes of so-called personal shoppers and others who buy collectible merchandise inside the parks and then resell it, either to individuals or online, according to an article in the Orange County Register. The move is aimed to curb the growing number of people who run a resale business by creating a fair opportunity for guests to purchase products they want while enforcing rules for annual pass holders. Annual pass holders interviewed for the Register's story claim that their accounts were canceled in connection with their side businesses. One annual pass holder and personal shopper claims to have received a letter from Disney informing her that her Disneyland pass had been revoked for 1 year. The letter also claims that she still has to pay monthly dues of $71 a month.
Oh, man.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Gangster.
The worst one was, I don't know if it'll cover it in here. Let me finish and then I'll say my worst one. The owner of a small personal shopping business and another annual pass holder interviewed in the story claims he received no notification from Disney and only realized his family's passes were canceled when he went on the Disneyland app and saw they were blocked. Upon calling the number on the back of his pass, he was informed that his passes were blocked because his account had been linked to a social media page selling Disney merchandises. That is my favorite one because they did not block his kids.
Yeah, just him and his wife.
Yes.
Yep.
That's like just a big
old,
yeah. Disneyland annual passports currently cost $549 to $1,149 per year, with most people making monthly payments. In addition to park admission, pass holders receive discounts on many park items ranging from 10% to 20%, depending on the type of pass. Typically, a personal shopper or so-called flipper, someone who buys items on spec and then resells on auction sites, would use his or her annual pass at the store to get the discount, then mark up the item for sale. Annual passport terms and conditions state benefits and discounts are for personal use only and may not be used for any commercial purpose, including without limitations to obtaining or purchasing items or services with the intent to resell such items or services. Disney spokesperson Liz Yeager shared with House Beautiful that park rules and annual terms and conditions are in place to help protect the experience for all of our guests.
I believe John made my favorite comment. Like, that's straight up gangster. Like, yeah. Not only are we going to cancel your annual pass, but
you're
going to
pay me.
Yeah, you're going to continue to pay me for the privilege of doing so, or we're going to send you to collections. I'm going to throw it out to you guys. Are you guys aware that this is a huge problem at Disneyland, or by quote unquote problem?
I didn't know. I suspected.
It's been kind of known that some people, there's so much merchandise that has become like limited edition.
Yeah, and Disney intentionally limits the stock to create these frenzies, and it all started with those stupid
popcorn buckets.
The popcorn buckets and that Beauty and the Beast cup.
Yep,
that's what started.
Yep.
Yeah. So what do you guys think?
Very cheap looking cup, by the way.
Too. Yeah, which there are like thousands of them now on the shelves. Like, you can't turn, like, every time you turn around, you knock one of those cups over, and people were paying hundreds of dollars for them on eBay. It's like, okay. But what do you guys think?
Who does it hurt specifically?
It hurts the other customers who can't get those items because people are buying them out.
So like me, like, I collect the tiki mugs at, Trader Sam's, right? So the new tiki mug, every 3 months or so, they'll release a new tiki mug. I just collect tiki mugs in general. I have a job, okay? So a lot of times they'll release these things on like a Tuesday at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and they're a limited edition, and these people will go and they'll line up, and they'll buy 10 of them, and then they'll go back and they'll sell. And one of the stories, and this was the thing that made me go, I'm glad they're doing this. One of the things in there was saying that they, people would wait in line and then go to the people they would buy, 10 of them, and they would go to the people at the back of the line and immediately start reselling them for a profit. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That seems like that's way over the line.
Yeah.
That's so trashy.
That is,
and just nothing in Disneyland should be trashy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, who does that hurt? It hurts people that A, have jobs and that, can't go line up at 4 o'clock in the morning for something that they really want to collect.
Then you should go buy it on eBay.
Just kidding. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's like the free market. If you believe in the free market, then
Disney doesn't.
Yeah. No. But Disney was getting a lot of, pushback on this.
Sure.
And they were, so this proves to me that they're at least listening.
Why could they buy more than one? Why don't they limit it to just one per person?
Because then it wouldn't create this hysteria of people running out and getting in line, and it's all the optics. It's all
okay.
It's all PR. Aaron, what do you think about this?
I think it's what it should be. I just hope now other things can be changed at Disneyland as well, in terms of the annual pass.
Yeah, and a lot of it is that I've said it for years now. A lot of it is that these people are buying the payments buying the passes on payments, which I have no problem with, but that's why they're still being required, because when you sign that thing, it's very specifically says even if Disney revokes your annual pass, you still have to pay your payments. It says it right there in black and white when you sign the contract.
Or next year, or you won't get to go back.
Right. Yeah. So, or if they have to send you to collections, then they'll, you know, then they'll, you, they're not eligible for the payments anymore. And so I think Disney creates a lot of this problem. To me, the answer is get rid of the payment plans, at least for like the super, you know, the cheapest annual pass. Like that would alleviate some of the overcrowding overnight, because now people treat Disneyland like they treat going to the mall. Like, cause it's, you know, you're paying $23 a month. You don't feel it as much as having to plunk down, you know, $549 or $1,000, like some of us. But, you know.
They also should limit how many different tiers of annual passes they have. They have like eight.
Yeah.
And they literally have eight. And they did. They did. They have some that you couldn't get anymore if you're newly getting an annual pass. But if you've had an annual pass for a while, like you can still get the old, the ones that become
Select,
like.
Yeah. As long as it. And they've done things like eliminate parking for all but the top tier annual passes. This is going to be a huge problem next year when Star Wars Land opens.
Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, when Galaxy's Edge opens.
Calm down, John.
Say it right, that's all.
So, you know, this is going to be a huge problem in terms of annual passes. So I look for a big announcement from Disney coming before Galaxy's Edge opens in terms of what they're going to be doing with annual passes. Because there's going to be a lot of PO'd people. When they find out that Disney's changing the terms of their annual pass, which Disney is allowed to do, because what gets me is the people that are outraged by it and like shocked by it. It's right there when you sign the contract. Mm-hmm. The fact that you didn't read the contract before you signed it is not Disney's fault. That's your fault for looking at
it. Just agreeing to it.
Yeah. And like, oh, I'm going to pay my, you know, all I want is my annual pass on payments. Great. Sign it. Like
terms and conditions.
I mean, to be fair, I've never read the terms and conditions of our Knott's annual passes or season passes.
Most people don't.
But you're not out reselling like non-sports. You're not. We talked earlier off the air about the ornaments that they gave away.
Yeah. So every year they have a pass holder appreciation night. And when it first started, it was open to all pass holders. But now it's gotten really packed. So they just do limited, like you have a certain amount of time to get your free tickets for pass holder appreciation night. Everyone in attendance gets a free ornament. So families will go and like, say our family of four, we could get four ornaments, and then people are turning around and selling them. And a lot of the Knott's Berry Farm Facebook pages are blocking people from selling them. I don't know if it's in the terms and conditions that you can't sell it, but that really is unfair.
Yeah, and it's like the same thing like cast member discounts or employee, you know, at Disneyland. You can't give your cast member discount to anybody else besides yourself. And you, by the same token, you can't use your cast member discount, which is up to 40% sometimes, to buy a bunch of stuff and then turn around on eBay and resell. They'll fire you if they catch you doing that.
And so, most companies do have that. Like at Starbucks, I know it was really big for a while for people to steal the caramel and sell it on eBay. Cause I mean, that caramel is delicious. Those of us that have worked at Starbucks eat it by the spoonful.
Caramel, the whipped cream canisters.
Oh, you just put the whipped cream in a cup and then fill it with caramel on top and eat it. Yeah.
Allegedly.
No, I did. I have no shame. And I offered it to people having bad days too. But no, so there was a huge thing that Starbucks actually had a huge crackdown on people stealing the caramel back in the early 2000s to sell on eBay. And they would track, Starbucks would track people down for that reason. Like, but
same thing with our partner. When we worked at Starbucks, our partner discount, right? You couldn't just give your partner. A lot of people got.
We did, but we weren't supposed to.
We weren't supposed to. But discretion is the better part of valor, right? If you would give your partner discount to like that regular or that, you know, cute girl walking in or whatever, don't do it to everybody, you know.
And we were supposed to just get free drinks while we were working, right? But we would, you know, get free drinks anywhere. It's kind of like how cops take care of each other. We'd go into a Starbucks that wasn't ours, give them our partner code, and they'd be like, oh, you're a partner. Okay, here you go. Here's your free drink.
Well, yeah. I could understand why management would not be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, it is wrong.
And then with the caramel, like that you didn't buy that caramel, you were stealing
caramel. Right. So, but you know, even with the discount thing, like I said, again, it says very specifically, like this is not like your annual pass discount is not for your side hustle. Like this is, you know, and a lot of people were like, well, I started this business because I just wanted to like, you know, make a little extra money. Like, no, that's not what this is for.
They're hurting a lot of Instagram influencers.
Yeah. Well, there's that. I had a point and I come by twice and just.
I keep interrupting
just
you.
Just gone. No, it's fine. I remember what it is. Disney doesn't do anything to you until they realize like you're pulling in a certain amount of volume. Like we can say pretty much whatever we want. We're a medium to small size podcast. We've got about 500 listeners or so. Something like other podcasts who have like tens of thousands of listeners and followers on Instagram, like those are the ones that Disney's got their eye on. And so these people that they're revoking their annual passes to me says that they've been watching them for a while and they're doing like a volume business. And so it's beyond what they're kind of crying, not crying poverty, but they're crying unfairness. Like, well, this is just like something small that I'm doing. Bull. You guys have had to have done something on a massive scale to attract Disney's attention, because they go back and they track these, you know, these discounts. Like they can track your discount, what you're using your discount for. So anyways, all right. Well, that's going to do it for park hopping. That's going to do it for annual pass holder talk. Aaron, really quickly, let's talk about your trip over to, Grinchmas and also, Holiday in the Park at Six Flags. Take it away.
So yeah, a few weeks ago, I went to Grinchmas at Universal Studios Hollywood. I've been going for the past few years. I actually went for the first Grinchmas they had, which was done very differently than it is now. Cause now it's just a 90-minute wait to get a picture with the Grinch. There's a separate area to get, your picture taken with Max. And then there's just who's walking around in the area. You can still send a postcard. I believe it's to Santa. And then there's a huge stage in front of the tree where you have, I don't think they had Cindy Lou this year anymore to do her story time, but they have the singers, the a cappella group, and also with Martha May Huvier's group.
With beauty and charm, she'll brighten your day. Please welcome a star, Miss Martha May Huvier.
Hit it, girls! Got up the tree, go with Christmas tree, but tonight I won't be sleeping. I got the coffee on, have all the trouble done with the spirit.
Episode previous, which you were on when we did our big holiday preview. So if you want to know more about some of the things that Aaron's talking about, go back to that episode and listen to that. We would get into more detail about it. Did they change the Grinch's costume?
This one, in Orlando they did, but the one in Hollywood looked to be the same to me. From Jim Carrey's version.
Because the one in Orlando is less influenced by that Jim Carrey version. It's more of a, I don't want to say generic Grinch, but...
It's kind of a combination of all three versions that exist right now.
Yeah. So anything special? Anything different?
Just that they've taken out a lot of... Because like the first year I went to Grinchmas, they had like a cookie decorating area. They had an area where you can decorate a Christmas ornament and put it on the trees that they had around there. They took those out. They also took out on the backlot tour when you got to Whoville. They would have the Grinch and several people from Whoville come out and sing.
They don't come out on.
They didn't do it this year. They didn't have them out there this year. I don't know if it was budget cuts or what, but that's they did not. I mean, it was decorated. There was a tree there and it was lit up. But they didn't have the whole moment where they come out.
Like I thought that was the whole reason that they kept that Whoville set is because they use it for. All right.
Yeah, so they got rid of that. At least this is for this year. I don't know.
Here's a weird question. Did you ask at all like why they did? Maybe it was just a one day thing that they didn't do it, or?
No, I didn't ask. It just, we weren't there when it was bad weather either. I mean, it was so sunny.
Real reason why they.
Yeah, because I can understand if it was raining or anything like that, but it didn't seem to be a reason to me, except maybe they just. Budget cuts, or they just didn't want to have to deal. It's a lot of work for those actors. Let's be honest, to come out every
But I mean, it's something
30 seconds.
At some point, it was something that that they offered during the during this thing that they're putting on. So that's really weird.
It is. But I mean, it was fine. And we didn't see. We saw they did a new tree lighting ceremony this year at the Grinch Plaza. So. I liked it. I liked the new tree lighting ceremony. It was a little different.
So what do you think? Better? How many years have they been doing Grinchmas now?
Oh, maybe 6 years.
Okay. And how does this compare to the other years that you've visited?
I feel like it's less personable now. It's just everyone knows about it. Everyone goes there and it's just so crowded in there.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, I mean,
because they moved the area like where they're doing all the right.
I mean, Grinchmas has always been in the same area, which is the plaza, okay. The Universal Plaza. So okay. After pretty much once they built that, that's when they put Grinchmas in that first year.
Okay.
And it's always been there. It's just the first year, I don't believe it ever had the stage. Okay. So it was just the tree that was there. And then like, it was the Grinch and Max together that you could take pictures with. And it had different areas where you with your kids, if you have any, you could, like I said, do a Christmas cookie decorating area, you know, Christmas tree ornament decorating area, but they don't really have that type of crafts service anymore. It's just take your picture and see these shows and be like, just
get out,
like packed like sardines in this wow. plaza.
Because how did the new, because I know that they rebuilt the entrance plaza too, like did that affect any of the Grinchmas stuff?
No, it's not anywhere. It just more people know about it. And then also with the Hogwarts Hogsmeade, you know, being turned into Christmas time too. I didn't see the show, but I saw it last year. But it's just getting really busy cool. during Christmas time there.
All right. So then you also went to Christmas in the Park at Six Flags. I'm just going to read.
Yeah.
I didn't prepare anything really for this. I'm just going to read off the website. It's new for 2018. They have a Holiday in the Park Food Festival. They have Merry Lane.
They had a food festival? I didn't realize.
Okay. That. they have Merry Lane. They have Santa's Cottage. They have the Festival Thrill Shakes, which the one I'm looking at on the website has a shake with a piece of pumpkin pie and a churro, like a literal.
Ugh, sounds disgusting.
Yeah, there's Merry Lane, there's Santa's Cottage, there's Winter Wonderland, s'mores fire pits, holiday inspired thrill shakes and funnel cakes, holiday treats and sweets. They have you can get your Wonder Woman themed Santa hat, and then of course holiday glow, Quirkmas, which we'll talk about, the Snowy Nights Show, and the Holiday Square Carolers. What did you What'd you think of Holiday in the Park? I know you've been before.
Yeah, I've gone a couple years. So when I just go to Holiday in the Park, I don't do any of the shows or anything like that. I just go to see all the beautiful lights. There's quite a lot of them. And
so you're saying you did not see Twerkmas or
Quirkmas? I don't. Or, right. I didn't. I honestly, who goes to Six Flags to watch a show?
Yeah.
I go to ride the rides. Like, that's the only reason to go to that park. Let's be honest. Right. there's no other reason to go to that park. I just was there for a few hours just to see the lights. And it was nice. They had a new lighting display area, which is right in front of Riddler's Revenge and the Justice League dark ride. They put these, like, they're steel-framed, wire-framed, like, Christmas bulbs that are just overlaid in a bunch of LED lights. And what was really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at those right now on the website. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're really cool. And they're super oversized so that you can actually walk underneath them. They have an opening so you can actually walk underneath them. And they sync up to music that's in the area. And so they, you know, start flashing. And when you're underneath the ball itself and watching it flash on and off, it's pretty cool. I enjoyed that part.
Yeah, they're like you can like walk.
Yeah, they walk underneath them, be like right inside the ball itself. So I thought that was a nice touch. Since there's just a few other areas, like in the DC area, it's supposed to be all lit up with lights, and there was definitely some areas within there that the lights were not working, which was very typical Six Flags. It's like, wow, this whole section is literally not turned on. There's lights there. Wow. You know, they should have been turned on.
Like
there's the canopy that's maybe over
one
you
light
too.
Bulb went, maybe one light bulb went out and just
no, the whole thing. I guess maybe. And then there's a whole canopy apples. That you can be under.
That's
and
crazy.
Several of the strings of lights that were in that canopy just didn't work either.
Like it would've been,
it's like that takes away the purpose of this canopy. It's like half the lights didn't work.
It would have been better if it was like one string of lights only. Like everything else was dark except for like one string of lights across the top. Then.
No, it was like several string of lights were just not working at all.
Wow.
I was like, oh, Six Flags. I know you don't have the budget as all these other parks, but you could do... You know, you don't have to spend a lot to do some cool things.
Right.
Like the balls. They were, you know, it was just steel framed, put a bunch of LED lights on it, and it worked out. Because
I mean, the
it worked.
I'm now obsessed with Quirkmas. Like it looked like some sort of like Cirque du Soleil, like, you know.
How are they in the steampunk area?
It doesn't. It's hard to say here cause without like spending a whole lot of time pulling it up, but it's at the gear. Yeah, it's at the Gearworks Theater, which I'm assuming is in the steampunk.
Yeah, it's
area.
Over by Twisted Colossus. Before you head down there,
a unique steampunk themed display of acrobatic artistry with trapeze artists and gymnasts. How do you not go see that?
Because I honestly have never seen anyone stand in line for a show there. I honestly don't know anything about. I know there's a couple theaters there, but I just.
That's everything you need to know about how I do theme parks. I'm like, there's a show. Why did you not go see the show? But whatever.
I didn't even know there was a food festival going on. Yeah. I mean, I know they have the s'mores areas. Like they have open fire pits that there's someone there and they
but that's the problem. If you go to this thing and you don't even realize that there's a. It's something they're advertising and you didn't realize it.
There was no signs. There was nothing. There's not booths outside. So it must have been you had to go inside probably the actual restaurants itself.
Now I'm craving a s'more.
S'mores are delicious.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of marshmallows. Right. So only once a year could I ever really do.
Yeah.
I had s'mores a couple weeks ago.
Marshmallows.
What?
Who doesn't like marshmallows? I don't trust you.
I've never been a fan.
She doesn't go see the shows. She doesn't like marshmallows.
I don't go see shows that don't even know exist.
doesn't know about the food fest. Goodness. All right.
I was more concerned about riding Twisted Colossus.
There you go. All right. Well, anything else? Anything else on how did you enjoy it? I know you've done it before. How did it compare to the other years that you've done it?
I felt like it's definitely a whole much more crowded this year than even just last year or the year before. I feel like a lot more people were aware that it exists this year, that there is Holiday in the Park. Yeah. And
that's thanks to our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. So we advertised it last year. Thanks, Lance.
You're welcome. And it was really packed. And
I was not aware that there was an entire, maybe I was because we talked about it last year, but there's an entire steampunk area.
It's called Screen Punk.
Oh, wow.
That's literally, I mean, it's not that big of an area.
Well, they're trying to do because Knott's has Dapper Day and Disney. Gothic. No, I don't know if they still do
this
Gothic
Day. This is not a specific day. This is all the time.
That's what I'm saying. They're trying to capture a specific audience because Disney and Knott's already have their audiences.
Does that audience live in 2008? Because.
well, I mean, where is Six Flags located?
Well, I guess.
I mean, yeah, Six Flags has always been supposed to be a teenage geared park.
It's just
they're starting to do more family, but
the further you get away from the ocean, the longer it takes to catch up with fashion.
And on that note, all right. Well, Aaron, thank you very much for giving us those updates on those two events. The Grinchmas thing is weird. I know they used to do a lot of more live entertainment, but
yeah, I mean, they still had live entertainment, but it was. I don't know. It was just much more crowded and I enjoyed it for what it was. Like I said, the tree lighting ceremony was a lot more fun. I mean, the people who are there, who are the different who's, they're great. They're great with interacting with they're a lot of fun. So for anything, it's good just to hang out with them. And the guy who, whatever person they always hire to do the Grinch, I'm assuming it's probably the same couple people. He's great. He's just spot on to the Jim Carrey version.
Those kind of interactions give me anxiety.
Oh really?
Yeah. Like you said, it's great to interact with them.
I'm sure you don't have to, but I'm just they're fun people.
We have our oldest son is just so obsessed with interacting with characters like that, and just constantly bombards them, runs up to them and tries to make jokes at them, and our other son runs from it.
That sounds I know both your kids. That sounds about right. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for that. So guys, we're going to close out here. We're coming to the end of our show for today, for this week, and really for 2018. So I'm going to go really quickly around the table. And I'm going to start with you, Aaron. What did you enjoy most in the parks in 2018, and what are you most looking forward to in 2019?
Let's see. This year I really enjoyed my opportunity of going to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando. that was a different experience. And I really enjoyed going to that event. And then I'm really looking forward to in 2019 are a couple things. West Coast Racers is a new steel coaster that's coming to Magic Mountain in 2019. I read up on that, and it looks like a lot of fun. It looks to be like the same engineers who worked on a Full Throttle. Looks like to be the same type of steel design and everything. So I'm like, ooh, this could be really fun. Okay. And then I'm also looking forward to Mickey and Minnie's that train ride thing that the Hollywood Studios.
Roadster Racer,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Whatever they call it.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's gotten so forgotten because of Galaxy's Edge.
I don't care. Yeah. I don't care about Galaxy's Edge.
That's like Star Wars Schminken.
I do enjoy Star Wars. Yeah, I just don't really care.
All right. Thank you, Aaron Brandis.
Don't steal the one I'm going to say.
I don't know what you're going to say.
All right.
Is it Harry Potter related? Because
No, my favorite part of 2018 was not Scary Farm.
You stole my thing.
You could still say it. What I'm most looking forward to in 2019 is having the dining pass on our Knott's passes, mainly for like the the Boysenberry Festival. Is we always just do the tasting card. And this year, there will be some Boysenberry options with the dining pass, so we could do the tasting card one time and then go back and try some of the food offered at the restaurants. So.
Very cool.
I'll let you say it because you're probably going to say it.
Well, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Not Scary Farm pass?
Oh, well.
That's right, because
you bought the
wrong year.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So
yeah, I'll go with that one. The Not Scary Farm passes. That's what I'm looking forward to.
The
so we get in, we get the, we go in early, we get the buffet.
Yeah, we'll get the buffet once.
And then we get in early entry, but we get in like unlimited.
The what?
The buffet.
Yeah. And then we get a limited early entry.
Oh, and the buffet comes with the soda cup that's refillable all those nights. So
we should sell those on eBay.
No, if we
do, I still have your guys's from the last.
Oh man,
the brandies from the last. But
if we do the buffet the first week it opens, which is when the buffet is the cheapest, we get that refillable cup that we could take back every night we go back on our pass. And then we have the dining pass, so the weeks that we're not doing the buffet, we could go in early before the park closes, get dinner, go drop the boys off at your, you know, the grandparents, and then come back for Not Scary Farm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Perfect.
And what did you enjoy most about 2018? So that's what you're looking forward to. What did you enjoy most about 2018?
Not Scary Farm. That's always the big one for me. That's what I look forward to all year.
Very cool.
And we got to go with you, so yeah, that was really cool.
You just stole mine.
Oh, sorry.
We should go backwards next year.
Yeah, right. Also, as for myself, a couple of things I really enjoyed this year. I enjoyed getting to spend every other Sunday. For those of you that don't know, we recorded show on Sunday and release on Wednesday. Every other Sunday with you guys, with especially John and Brandis. Brandis has been here since the beginning, in case you don't know. With I think only one episode that we've ever done without Brandis, and so she has been here since the beginning. And this year she was she sends me all kinds of cool stuff, and she's our associate producer. And John joined us a little bit later, so I've enjoyed spending almost every other Sunday. We've skipped a couple, but I'm with you guys, and I've enjoyed having everyone else here. So with Aaron and Dr. David and Karen and Diane Hobday all joining us, so that's been one of my highlights. My other highlight was going to Not Scary Farm and getting to go with you guys, because you guys know all the ins and outs, and realizing that the Fright Lane pass?
Oh yeah.
Is a total ripoff.
Yeah, it's a bust.
But our trip to Knott's Scary Farm was cool. I'm still working on that video. I promise it's going to go up soon. What I'm looking forward to most in 2019 is just as doing more shows, getting to hang out with you guys again, for season 3 of our show. And, all as far as the parks go, I think what I'm looking forward most to is I'm going to be taking a trip out to Florida again to watch the end of the nighttime show at Epcot Illuminations. We plan to go out for the very last show. If you don't know what Illuminations is, we'll post a link to the video again on our Facebook page. But it's the show that's been at Epcot for 20 years, and it's a wonderful show, and it's very much in the spirit of the original Epcot, and it's going away, and it makes me very sad. So we're going to go see the last one. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is that I'm really looking forward to is there was an article that came out recently that said that on the first day that it's open, Galaxy's Edge is expected to draw about over 200,000. It's expected to draw up to 200,000 people on day one at Disneyland.
So crazy.
And my response to that is 200,000 and one. So I am looking forward to being part of the craziness that is Galaxy's Edge, because we've been watching this thing get built, and I really want to see if it lives up to the hype. So lots of things coming towards us. I'm looking forward to launching our new show with Dr. David. Still doesn't have a name yet, but we're going to be exploring the history of Disneyland. We're going to be doing just from opening until, you know, the mid-90s. We're going to be really diving in deep, and hopefully that one is as successful as this one has been. So you can connect with Vacationland Online by visiting our website, vacationlandpodcast.com, our Facebook page, facebook.com/vacationlandpodcast, our Instagram, VL Podcast, and our Twitter account, at Vacationland Show. You can also email us at vacationlandpodcast@gmail.com. And as always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. And on YouTube, we're going to be uploading. Karen and I went to the Festival of the Holidays Food Fest at California Adventure, and also I promised that video of us at Halloween Horror Nights, and then the Halloween Horror Nights Not Scary Farm is coming. So I'd like to thank you all for joining us over the course of the last year. Thank you to everyone here. Thank you, Brandis. Thank you, John, and thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having us involved.
No, this has been one of my favorite things about the year.
Ooh, and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. But it's spelled GNU. The same as GNU. plus a huge thank you to everyone who has worked on the show and made it possible. I mean, everybody earlier, including associate producer John Hughes. You and Fine, and you'll be back and joining us in 2019. So thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in January of 2019. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope you enjoyed your stay in vacation. Happy holidays. And happy